Good morning again, and it's always great to worship. Can all of us say that Jesus is our King? Can you say amen, that Jesus is my King? Hopefully you're able to say that today. If not, understand that Jesus loves you and wants to have a relationship with you, and you only have that relationship through Jesus Christ, accepting Him as your Savior. If you have your Bibles this morning, please take them out to Matthew chapter 7. And also, hopefully you have an outline, too, that's you can pick that up out there in the lobby on the ministry counter. This morning, we're going to talk about judgment in relationships, kind of a difficult topic. And sometimes I believe we all do this, that we evaluate and we analyze other people, don't we? We kind of like to do that, I think. We look to judge them. Most of us, we like to look at other people through a microscope, kind of zoom in on their sin, their wrongs, their faults, and look what they're doing. But when it comes to us, what we like to do, we like to take a telescope and turn it around and look at the opposite of a telescope. And you know, if you ever looked at the opposite of a telescope, everything looks so far away and everything looks so small. And that's kind of how some of us view life. We look at others through a microscope and look at ourselves the opposite of a telescope. Over the last 6 weeks, we've been going through this series, Relationships, and it's about relationships. And today we're going to conclude this series. But we have been talking about relationships and the difficulties that we find in relationships. And we've talked about this will be the sixth topic we're talking about. And as I say, we're going to end this series today. But today we're going to talk about judgmental in relationships. And I believe that many relationships fail either because we judge wrongly or we fail to judge. I feel that happens in many times. In relationships, most of us struggle with that. When to judge and when to confront and when not. If you have your Bibles in Matthew chapter 7, Matthew 7, we see Jesus is speaking. And in Matthew chapter 5 through 7, we have what I believe is the greatest sermon ever recorded, the Sermon on the Mount by Jesus. And Jesus is teaching in Capernaum overlooking the Sea of Galilee here. And his disciples and others have gathered around him. A large group has gathered around. They're probably sitting around him. And he's teaching. And he begins to share these biblical truths with them in Matthew chapter 5 through 7. He's teaching these truths. We find these truths. And Jesus redefines how you and I should live and relate to one another and how it looks based on God's kingdom principles. And so he's giving them something new that they have not heard these things before. In Matthew chapter 5, verse 20, Jesus kind of sums it up like this. For I tell you that unless your righteousness surpasses that of the Pharisees and the teachers of the law, you will certainly not enter the kingdom of God. And let me just paraphrase that. Jesus is basically saying to them, your standards are all wrong. Your standard, it says, you're holding yourself to a human standard, which is not God's standard, and it's all wrong. So what he's doing in Matthew chapter 5, verse 7, he says, I'm going to show you how it works in God's kingdom, which is different the way you think it works, and it's different. And he's doing the same thing here in Matthew chapter 7, verses 1 through 6. This is different the way we would think. And so let's read this, starting with verse 1, Matthew chapter 6. He says, do not judge, or you too will be judged. For in the same way you judge others, you'll be judged, and with the measure you use, it will be measured to you. Why do you look at the speck of sawdust in your brother's eye and pay no attention to the plank in your own eye? How can you say to your brother, let me take the speck out of your eye, when all the time there's a plank in your own eye? You hypocrite, first take the plank out of your own eye, and then you will see clearly to remove the speck from your brother's eye. Do not give dogs what is sacred. Do not throw your pearls to pigs. If you do, they may trample them under their feet and then turn and tear you to pieces. This morning, I want to share with you, and hopefully you have your outline, three steps to judging others. In verse 1 and 2, we see very quickly that Jesus shows us how to judge. In the first step, he says that we need to judge with mercy. We need to judge with mercy. We need to have mercy. We need mercy when we judge. And mercy is showing compassion, especially to an offender. And I wrote down here, mercy is a form of love displayed with compassion. It's mercy. We're giving someone what they don't deserve. We're showing them compassion. Let me read verses, Matthew 7, verse 1 and 2 again. It says, do not judge, or you too will be judged. For in the same way you judge others, you will be judged, and with the measure you use, it will be measured to you. For years and years, John 3:16 has been the verse that Christ followers, and even people that don't follow Christ, that have kind of clinged to, learned, and they know this verse. And it, when we used to go to outdoor events, at sporting events before COVID hit, you would see people holding up John 3:16 poster, for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son, whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. And they would probably hold it. But that seems to change now. The verse now you see many times people holding up is Matthew chapter 7, verse 1. And the verse that people know they cling to, and they want to talk about this verse, especially to Christ followers, they love to talk about this. Do not judge, or you too will be judged. Do you ever see that? Smile, Matthew 7, verse 1. And I believe the reason our culture is clinging to this verse right now because they have taken it or stripped it out of its context. And they love the fact that Jesus is saying here, and he's telling people, do not judge. Don't be judgmental. They love the fact that it's saying that, but it's taken out of context that what is in this passage. That's not what this passage is really talking about, and that's what I want to deal with in a few minutes, the misconception of what this passage is talking about. So Jesus doesn't just say, do not judge, and he stops there, but Jesus goes on further, and he explains it. And he describes it in verse 5. Let me read verse 5. He says, you hypocrite, first take the plank out of your own eye, then you will see clearly to remove the speck from your brother's eye. He says, take the plank out of your eye so you're able to see clearly, so then you're able to take the plank out of your brother, your sister's eyes, what he says. So Jesus said you can judge, but there's something you need to do before you judge someone else. He tells us another passage that's pretty clear that you and I as believers are supposed to judge others. In John chapter 17, verse 24, he says, stop judging by mere appearances and make a right judgment. Jesus said, make sure you look into the matter and understand what is going on before you pass judgment, before you make a judgment. But we're to make judgment, but he says, look into the matter first. So we're building a case here to recognize and ask the question, are we supposed to judge or not? In Luke chapter 17, verse 1, Jesus said to his disciples, things that cause people to sin are bound to come, but woe to that person through whom they come. So watch yourselves. If your brother sins, rebuke him, and if he repents, forgive him. So he's saying that if someone sins, we're to rebuke their sin, but if they repent of their sin, we are to forgive them of their sin. So not only is Jesus saying that we're to judge other people, we could go into the disciples, and we see the disciples also say that too. We should judge other people. But remember our point in judgment. We have to judge with mercy. We have to show compassion. And what Jesus is saying in this context, I believe, the biblical definition of judgment, we can analyze and evaluate, or we can condemn and avenge. And that's where our culture gets confused. And that's where many believers in Christ gets confused. Because what people believe about Christ followers is when people sin right now that we are there to condemn them and avenge them. Condemn and judge and avenge them. And that's not, as believers, that's not our role. That's not our job. That role is reserved for Christ and Christ alone to judge them. Our job is to analyze it and to evaluate what is going on. That's our job, to analyze and evaluate. To evaluate means to look deeply into or to analyze it. And Jesus goes on to say, this is how you need to do it. Not just judge, but you need to do it a certain way. And he's warning you and I against being condemning and critical of other people. He says, don't do it. Basically, he's saying that you and I need to have an attitude adjustment. Sometimes parents will say that to children who've misbehaved. They're misbehaving. They say, you know, you need an attitude adjustment. You need to have that. And that's what Jesus is saying. There's an attitude problem that results in a behavior problem. And he says, is your attitude right as you're judging? Because if it's not right, he said, what's going to happen? You're not going to judge with mercy. You're not going to look at the situation with mercy. You won't judge and show compassion is what he's saying. I don't know about you, but judging for me can come pretty easy, right? I mean, let's be honest. It's kind of easy to have a critical spirit. It's kind of easy to look at the situation at first glance and make a quick judgment about what's going on without understanding everything that is happening. Aren't we good to do that? Before we understand the whole situation, we've already made a decision. We've already made a judgment. Man, I need to confront them. I need to say something. I need to do this. And we don't even know all that what's going on. And sometimes we can even look for opportunities to judge others. We can look, have that critical spirit ready to do it. And what Jesus is saying, as you judge, I want you to judge with mercy, but don't be so quick to judge. To slow down. Don't be so quick to pass judgment on others. He says in verse 2, for in the same way you judge others, you will be judged. With the measure you use, we measure to you. So the point that Jesus is making to you and I, he says judge, but judge with mercy, but slow to judge. And when you do judge, get it right. Get it right. Make sure you're getting it right. So don't be quick to judge others. Make sure you understand the situation. Make sure you understand what's going on before you pass judgment. So we have to ask ourselves the question. If we're judging people, especially brothers and sisters in Christ, as we judge them, are we doing it with the right context? Are we doing it with the right heart attitude and right? Are we doing it the right reasons? Are we doing it that way? As we judge people with mercy, are we harsh? Because harsh and mercy don't go together, do they? Harsh and mercy don't go together. Are we doing it with condemnation? Are we doing it to condemn them? Because when we condemn them, it only hurts people, and that destroys relationships. So that never works if we're there to condemn them. Are we doing it to help analyze? Is that why we're doing it? See, if we're merciful instead of critical, if we're doing it in love and kindness, then the relationship between you and I has a chance to grow. We're given an opportunity to grow if we're doing it the right way. And that's what Jesus is saying. We've got to do it the right way. And even if we do it the right way, it doesn't always work out the way we want it to. But we have to do our part and do it the right way. When we judge, he's saying we have to show mercy is when we judge. But then Jesus goes on, not only do you need to judge with mercy, but that's the second one. You need to judge without hypocrisy. And that's huge. We need to judge without hypocrisy. Let's read verses 3 through 5. He says, why do you look at the speck of sawdust in your brother's eye and pay no attention to the plank in your own eye? How can you say to your brother, let me take the speck out of your eye, when all the time there is a plank in your own eye? You hypocrite. First take the plank out of your own eye. I love Jesus. He gets right to the point. You don't have a problem to call people out. But Jesus, what he's using here, he's using hyperbole. And hyperbole is a statement or a picture that's fully exaggerated. And that's what Jesus is doing here. He's exaggerating. He gives us this word picture to fully exaggerate what is happening so you and I can understand. Like, he takes it to the extreme to get his point across to you and I. And he says, if you're going to judge, he's saying, you've got to judge with mercy. But he says, but you better not be a hypocrite in doing it. And he's warning you and I, don't be a hypocrite. In other words, meaning there's something that's blinding you. There's sin in your own life. And if you have sin in your own life, how are you able to judge someone clearly? And the point that Jesus is making, for some of us, we like to go and judge people, and maybe in front of us is our own self-righteousness, and we're going to talk about someone else being self-righteous. We're going in front of someone and say, hey, you know, you got to stop that cheating when in our own life we're cheating. Or maybe we're saying, you need to stop that lying, but in our own life, we have this lying going in our own life. So he says, how can you go and judge someone when you're having the same sin and same struggle in your own life? You need to stop those things. And think how Jesus exaggerates it. He takes it to another point. He talks about a speck of sawdust to this wooden plank in your eye. And think of a wooden plank, and they don't give us the exact size, but say it's a 2x12, 12-foot-long wooden plank in your eye. And if you ever take a wooden plank and take a piece of wood and you take an electric saw and you make a cut into that wooden plank that would be 2x12 by 12 inches wide, and after you made that cut and you took a broom and a dustpan and you swept all that up, and you'd probably have a dustpan full of dust in one cut, right? And you have all this dust there. What Jesus is saying, you have these little specks of sawdust that's in there, that dustpan, but you have this big wooden plank in your eye. And you're trying to see across that big wooden plank in your eye, and you're trying to look at that other person and find that speck of sawdust in their eye. And he says, it's impossible to do. You can't do that. And he says, it's impossible to do because you've got this plank in your own eye. And what he's saying, you need to check yourself. You need to examine your own heart and your own motive. That your heart and motive is right before you go and confront someone else. Not only your sin and your struggles, we need to kind of come to God and say, what sin and struggle do I have in my life? But you also need to check your motive. To make sure your motive is right before you start to judge someone else. Make sure you're not there to condemn someone. Or if you go there and say, that I've told you so. If you're there and say, I'm going to confront someone and judge them, there to condemn them or to tell them I told you so, don't go. You're the wrong person to go. Yeah, don't go there. But pay attention to what he says here in the context of the verse. Who are we to judge? And it's so important we see this. He says at verse 3, why do you look at the speck of sawdust in your brother's eye? He says, brothers. He's talking about addressing believers, brothers and sisters, people who have put their faith and trust in Jesus Christ for forgiveness of sins. That's who he's talking about, we're to judge. Other followers of Jesus. And what some of us have got caught up in is we begin to be judgmental of those people who don't follow God's word, who don't know Jesus Christ as their Savior. We start to tell them and judge them when they don't understand because they don't know Jesus. And we want to go to them and say, you know, you need to live like this. You need to stop doing this. You need to stop doing that and do these things, not talk like this and do this. And they look at you, and we're telling them all the bad things that they're doing, and we're telling them to stop those things. But that will never happen because we're asking them to do it in their own strength and their own power. And what they're doing, the people of the world, they're living according to their nature, like the world. That's what they do. Without Jesus, that's how people live. And they're living like the world, because that's how the world lives. And we're trying to tell them, you need to stop living that way. But they don't need us to judge their sin. They don't need us to tell them how bad they are and all the wrong things they're doing. What they need, what do they need? They need Jesus. They need us to share the gospel of Jesus Christ with them. That's what they need. Because you and our words telling them how bad they are, it's not going to change them. The only one that can change them is Jesus. They need us to share the gospel. And he will change them from the inside out. That's what they need. So we don't mean to cast judgment on all their sin and tell them how bad they are. What we need is to share Jesus Christ with them. But when we attack unbelievers for their sin, do you know we come across as self-righteous? That's what they see in our hearts and minds. They see self-righteousness. And let's just make sure we understand it. None of us are righteous. There's only one that is righteous, and that is Jesus, right? There's only one. Take Jesus out of our life, and you and I are sinners, saved by grace through faith, right? Sinners, we all are. And the only reason that we can approach God is through Jesus. The only difference in our lives than theirs is Jesus, right? So none of us can approach and say, oh, I'm righteous, and you're, no. The only one is righteous, Jesus, and I'm saved by him, by his grace through faith. So when you see this passage, Jesus is not addressing unbelievers. He's addressing you and I as believers. And in the context of this, that we have to judge with mercy, but we also have to judge without being a hypocrite in order for our point to be heard, in order for people to listen to us. If you don't judge with mercy and you're judging and you're in hypocrisy, no one's going to listen to you. They're going to see for you who you are. So let's talk a little bit about judging. Judging means to be discerning, not having a judgmental, critical, or condemning spirit. We're judging through biblical standards through the Bible. Not to what I think or what someone else thinks or someone else's standard, but through the biblical standards. And often, as I said, I was thinking about when we judge, what do we do? And often what I said in the beginning, we like to take out the microscope, and we really like to zoom in on people's sins and the little things and if they do, and we like to really zoom in with the microscope and you see what they said, they lied or something like that. And on us, we like to look at ourselves through the opposite end of a telescope. We make what we did is so small, what everybody else does is so big. Like when someone else lies, boy, did you see they lied. They lied. But when we get caught in a lie, I wasn't really lying. It was just stretching the truth, right? I just exaggerated the truth. That's all I really did. We see someone else not following the word of God. How can they not follow God's word? How can they not live like this? And we start making judgments upon them. And the Bible is saying, what Jesus is saying, you're making these judgments all the while you're doing that. We're asking other people to care for people. And the question is, are you caring for people? We need to be kind and love people. Are you being kind and loving people? And that's the condition that Jesus is saying. We're condemning people. We're judging people. And all the while we're doing it, is what Jesus said. You've got this plank in your eye, this wooden plank in your eye, and you're trying to grab the speck of sawdust out of someone else's eye, that speck of sin in their life, when you've got all this sin in your own life. How can you do this? And what he says, you're being a hypocrite. And hypocrite is saying or doing something and not practicing what you preach, right? And that's what many, many people do. They want to judge, and they're not looking at their own life, the sin in their own life, and the struggles in their own life. They're trying to act like everyone else has all these problems. They have none. So Jesus is very clear. In order to judge, in order to go to brother and sister in Christ, you've got to make sure your heart is right. You've got to examine yourself. And the warning he does, he says, the solution is, you hypocrite, first take the plank out of your own eye, is what he's saying. We have to take care of that. So my question is, how do we avoid hypocrisy in our own lives? How do we avoid that? Well, first, I think we need to examine our own selves. Before you and I go and judge anybody else, before we're racing off because they did something wrong, before we're ready to confront somebody, you and I need to take a step back and say, okay, God, maybe I don't grasp the whole situation here. Maybe I need to understand everything is going on. But first, God, I need to examine myself. Is my heart right? Do I have any sin or struggles in my own life that I need to examine? Is my motive right in doing this? What's the reason I'm doing it? Am I doing it out of love? Why am I doing this? What is my motivation? And he says, if your hearts are not in the right place, if they're not in the right place, what we need to do, we need to pray. We need to go to God and ask for his help. We need to ask God to examine our hearts to make sure it's right. And the passage to use for that is Psalm 139, verses 23 through 24. Let me read it to you. The psalmist says, search me, O God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. See if there's any an offensive way in me, and lead me in the way of everlasting. So we need to search internally and ask God to look into our hearts and our lives and say, God, is there any sin? How's my heart during this? What are my motives? What is my attitude? Is it right to be that I might be the one to go confront someone? Might be someone to judge someone else. Is that right in my life before I go? We need to do that before we go. And the second thing we need to do is we need to go to God and confess. We all have things to confess. We need to go to God and confess and our own struggles and our own sin. Many times I have found out over the years that if God is pointing to me what someone else has done, he's usually says, Doug, yeah, I'm letting you know what they're doing, but before you go, I've got a work I got to do in your own heart. There's something in your life that needs to be taken care of. Many times God will point out things in other people's life because maybe the same thing is going on in our own lives that God is revealing. And we're blind to it because we're looking at our lives at the opposite end of a telescope. And we don't see it. And God is saying, we need to take care of you before you go and judge or pass judgment as someone else. Before you confront someone else, you need to examine your own heart. You need to get it right. And here's the thing. If you're not willing to deal with your own struggle and your own sin in your own life, then send someone else. Don't go. You don't go to that person. Because if you go, you will do more damage than good. And people will see your hypocrisy. It will shine very brightly with them, your hypocrisy. Don't go. God will send someone else. God has someone else. Don't think, I'm the only one that can go. No, God can raise up someone else. Someone else can go. He's got other people that can go confront someone. My hope that every one of you has someone who is walking beside you, someone that you know, maybe your spouse, your best friend, a mentor that can, you give them the authority to come to you and say, if there's hypocrisy in your life, they can point it out. And you're going to be all right with that. To say, hey, I'm not living right, and I'm saying this about others, but that's going on in my own life. We need to judge without hypocrisy. When we get to that point, it gives us the opportunity to judge with mercy and without hypocrisy. And that takes us to the third step. And the third step is really important. Then we are able to judge to help others. But we have to do the first two steps first. Once we do the first two steps, then we're able to help others. We need to judge with the thought of helping others. Anytime we're going to do that, to confront or judge, it's to help others. Let's look at the second part of verse 5 and verse 6. He says, and then you will see clearly to remove the speck from your brother's eye. Do not give dogs what is sacred. Do not throw your pearls to pigs. If you do, they may trample them under their feet and then turn and tear you to pieces. The whole idea of these last two verses, whereas the throwing pearls before the pigs or giving dogs what is sacred, is a principle that some of us, we want to share the gospel of Jesus Christ, or we want to share the biblical truths to somebody or to people, and the motive is just to get it off our chest, just because I want to tell them. I want to finally tell them, and it's not really to help people. And sometimes that's the reason we do it is because we just want to get off our chest. I've been waiting a long time to share this with them, and it's not really to help people. And see, the principle behind judging, it has to be to help people grow in their relationship with Jesus. That always, always has to be the context. And that always has to be the reason and the goal is to help people grow in their relationship with Jesus. If we're doing it any other reason, it's not good. Because if it's not, that's not the reason, then we're just going around judging and pointing people's sins out. And by the way, there's no spiritual gift in the Bible where we're pointing out other people's sin. That's the Holy Spirit's job, not ours. Some people think it's their job to point out other people's sin, other people's wrong, but it's not. And we start saying, you shouldn't act this way, you shouldn't do this, shouldn't say that, you shouldn't live that way, don't do this, don't do that. And there's no benefit to the person of us doing that. It doesn't help anybody, but it's just pointing out sins. And then our judging doesn't help them to grow spiritually. It actually harms them. Condemnation, it just tears them down. It makes them feel horrible. It doesn't help them whatsoever. And really, what comes across is, again, is this self-righteousness. That people see, we think we're self-righteous, that we're better than they are, and that we got our lives all together. None of us have our lives all together. None of us do. We always have to come in humility, that I want to help you. And that's one of the reasons that younger people, they would see the millennials, they don't judge. Because they've seen the generation before them pass judgment on them or pass judgment on someone else, and it didn't work out right. So you see many times young people won't, they drop judgment altogether. They don't want to come across because maybe they won't show mercy, and then they will look like they're hypocritical of other people. So they decide, many of the young people, the millennials, they just won't do it. I just won't judge. I won't do it at all. That's why we have to examine ourselves and before we judge someone else. We have to do that. When we do it, we have to check our motivation. We have to check our heart. We have to check our attitude. We have to examine ourselves. We have to check our approach. We have to see, is it the right time to do it? And I'm going to talk about that in just a moment. Remember, the purpose of judging is always to help others grow in Christ. Always. And it's to believers we're talking about. Those who know Jesus Christ, we want to help them grow in Christ. Those unbelievers, they don't need us to judge them for their sin. Remember that. Don't judge unbelievers for their sin. You're wrong, all this bad. They need Jesus. They need Jesus. They live like the world because that's according to their nature. They're following the world. They don't need to say, oh, you're doing this wrong and this wrong. They need Jesus. They need you and I to share Christ with them. That's what they need. In verse 5, it's pretty clear how we're supposed to do it. And I think for most of us, myself included at times, I've had to confront people. Being a pastor and over the years, I've confronted people. And I follow these steps. And I'll admit to you that it doesn't always work the way I want it to work. We're to do our part on this. But it always doesn't work the way I want it to work, even if I follow it. Sometimes it does, and seeing, praise God, it works. But sometimes it takes that other person's heart. And sometimes they rebel, and they don't want it, and they get all upset and all these kind of things. So quite frankly, I'll be honest, I don't like doing it. And I don't do it unless I know God really wants me to. And I spend an awful lot of time slow-stepping this. God, you sure you want me to be the one to do this? Because send someone else, I'm happy to let this go. And so what happens so many times is in my own life can happen, I got to watch it, and it happens to many of ours, we throw it out judgment. And we've left it to whatever happens, happens. I don't want to deal with that. I don't want the confrontation. I don't want the problems. I don't want any of that. But according to Scripture, you and I can't just leave it to whatever happens, happens. We can't do that because that's what hurts relationships. So we have to judge sometimes. But when we judge, it's got to be done with gentleness, kindness, and love. And it has to be done that way to help our brothers and sisters grow in Christ, to help restore those relationships, and to strengthen those relationships. That's what we need to do. It tells us in Galatians chapter 6, verse 1, brothers, if someone is caught in a sin, you who are spiritual should restore him gently, but watch yourself, or you also may be tempted. The Apostle Paul was saying we're to demonstrate love. We're to demonstrate gentleness. And you attempt to help people to grow. We're to go to them. But this kind of discernment and this kind of conversation can only take place at the foot of the cross, right? With the guidance of the Holy Spirit to help us along the way. We can only do this by the help of God at the foot of the cross in prayer, asking for his guidance and the things we're to say and what we're to do. It has to be done that way. But also, one other thing I want to point out, the right time is important too. The right time is very important when we're going to do it. Just not any time works. A few years ago, I was reading an article by Howard Hendricks. Howard Hendricks is a professor was a professor at Dallas Theological Seminary. He's passed away now. He's wrote many books. For some time, he was the chaplain to the Dallas Cowboys football team. And there was a group of football players that Howard was meeting with and having a Bible study. And one of the players spoke up and he shared a truth from the Bible that he thought was a truth from the Bible, but it was completely out of its context. It was completely wrong, completely off base, made no sense, and it wasn't right with Scripture at all. And so the Bible said he grew real quiet at that time, and everybody waited for Howard Hendricks to speak up, to say something, to condemn this person or say something to him, and Howard didn't say anything. So the Bible study ended, and many of those football players who had been in the Bible study went up to said, Howard, why didn't you say anything? You're this theological professor, and you know so much that you could have just stopped them right there, and you could have said at that very moment, and you could have judged the player and said, you've got it wrong, and this is not biblical, that you're wrong. And Howard Hendricks basically said this, it wouldn't have helped. But in that context, he says, in that moment, it would have been without mercy. And it probably, he said, would have fallen on deaf ears. And it might have been more damaging if I had said something. Have you ever gone to a conversation and maybe you're ready to confront someone, ready to pass that judgment and say something to them and maybe go to them? Maybe it's a spouse. Maybe it's your children. Maybe it's a parent. Maybe it's a good friend or whoever it might be. And as you get in that discussion, and you even had the Scriptures to back you up, what they did was scripturally wrong, and you go to them, as you get in that discussion with them, and you're talking to them, you realize right at that moment it wasn't the right time. Right at that moment as you're in that conversation, it's not going to help them. Right at that moment as you're talking to them, you realize if I say these things right now, it's going to hurt them. They're not ready to receive it right then. And the only good that will come out of it, the only good that will come out of it right there if you say it, is that you get it off your chest and it makes you feel better. That's it. That's it. Because it's not the right time. That's what Jesus is saying in this passage when he says, don't give dogs what is sacred and don't throw your pearls to pigs. He's saying they're not going to value it. If you don't choose the right time, they won't accept it. They're not ready for it. Don't give it to them. It's got to be the right time. You got to look for the right time to share it. And for you and I, when we have the opportunity to judge someone with mercy, without hypocrisy, to make sure we're doing it to help someone, make sure we're doing it, and make sure it's the right time. It has to be the right time. It's got to be the right approach. It has to be the right humility. It has to be the right spirit. And it's got to be done with love and gentleness. It's got to have all those, not just one of those or a few of those. Every one of those have got to be included. If not, don't go. That's the only way we're going to judge correctly. Rebuking someone or judging someone or confronting someone, it's never easy, is it? It's never easy. It's always a difficult situation. And I don't want anybody that says, boy, I look forward to doing that. I don't want anybody. But it can often be the thing within our relationships that needed the most. And many times that's what's lacking in our relationships. Not willing to be honest. Not willing to confront a friend or a family member or a spouse. We're not willing to do that. Remember the context. Don't take it out of the context of Matthew chapter 7, verse 1 through 6. That we have to look to the cross. That we have to humble ourselves. We have to humble ourselves. We make sure there's nothing hypocritical in us. That we do it with mercy. We do it with the right attitude, the right heart attitude, the right approach, the right time. And when we judge, if we do it the right way, it can actually be beneficial. It can actually help others. It can actually help and heal the relationship. But we have to do it the right way. Remember this about judging. I want you to really remember this. Judging others means for you and I to spend time with God. And it becomes focused on my sin, my heart, my motivation. It becomes focused more on me right then, that God wants to focus on me. Am I right? Am I doing it as a love and gentleness and care? Is that why I'm doing this? That has to be the reason. We judge or rebuke only when it's going to help and lift someone up. If it's not going to help and lift someone up, don't do it. If it's there just to condemn or I told you so, don't do it. It always has to be to lift them up, to build them up, to help them to become and grow in Christ. It can never be to condemn. Remember that. Can never be to condemn, but to lift them up in love. And many times, confronting someone can be the most loving thing we can do in a relationship. Can be the most beneficial thing we can do. Can be the most greatest thing we can do to strengthen that relationship, to restore that relationship. Because if we don't judge sometimes, if we don't make these judgments, if we don't confront, that's when relationships get destroyed. Because there's something in our hearts and minds that we need to deal with. Something happened and we need to deal with it. But we need to do it the right way. God, we have to make judgments every day. For people to say, don't judge, the Bible says don't judge, they're not understanding in context. We make judgments every day. And if you have children, you're helping your children to make good judgments every day. We've got to make good judgments. But we've got to do it according to the biblical standard. That's what Jesus was saying. Here's how God's kingdom works. Not according to the world, not according to the world standards, but according to the biblical standards of God's kingdom. And this is what we have to follow. It's difficult, but we always have to do it in love. Amen? In love. Let's pray. Lord, we come and we praise you. We praise you, God, because you love us so much that, God, you understand relationships. You understand them better than us. Because, Lord, that relationship with you was broken off at us when we sinned against you. And it was only one way to rectify it. It's only one way to correct it is by you sending your son, Jesus, to die on the cross for our sins so we might find forgiveness of sins with you. And it's the only way we can have a relationship with God is through Jesus, putting our faith and trust in you. And God, you know between with us here on this earth, there's going to be conflict. There's going to be sin. And we're going to sin against one another. And sometimes we have to confront when someone's in sin. And Lord, you've given us the way to do this, the biblical way. And Lord, we judge with mercy, we judge without hypocrisy, and we always, always do it to help others. And so, Lord, just help us to hold these truths, these steps in our hearts and minds, and we'd follow them. But Lord, we probably more than that, before focusing on someone else's life, that we'd spend time with you in prayer. We'd examine our own hearts and our own mind to make sure we're right. Because, Lord, many times we see other sins greater what they're doing than what we see in ourselves. So help us, Lord, to have a good picture of ourselves. Help us to examine our own hearts, Lord, that we ask you to search our hearts, oh God, and see if there's any sin in us. Examine our own hearts to see if there's any struggles that we need to deal with before we start pointing out everyone else's sin. And Lord, deal with us, Lord. But Lord, help us to make judgments. And when we make them, we're led by the Spirit of God. And Lord, we'd be praying about it. And when we do it, Lord, did you give us the words, the love, the kindness, the motivation, the right attitude, that we're there to help others because we love them. I want to see them grow in Jesus Christ. So, Lord, help us to be guided by your principles and your word, because, Lord, when we see how you come and you confront us with our sin, it is always done in love. It's never done to condemn us. It's always to rebuke us because we've sinned against you, but it's always say, this is the way I want you to live. And you encourage us to walk with you because we see the benefits of walking with you and have that good relationship with you. And so, Lord, we may see the benefits of having good relationship with others, and others may see it too. Lord, we love you and praise you. And Lord, we realize in our lives, there's only one that's mighty enough to forgive sins. There's only one mighty enough to restore relationship. There's only one that's mighty enough to save, and it's you, Jesus. And we come and we worship you today. We lift up our hearts and minds and ask that we would be guided by you, our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. We ask all these things in Jesus' name, amen.